WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Lindsay Watts. Pat Robertson, founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network, well known as the face of the 700 Club and a longtime Republican political influencer, has died. He was 93 years old. Another day of dangerous air quality from the Midwest to the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast. New York City's LaGuardia Airport on an incoming ground stop earlier today due to poor visibility. Clouds of drifting Canadian wildfire smoke to blame.
We are on the mall, the Capitol itself, shrouded in smoke. On the other side, less than a mile away, the monuments standing at 550 feet tall, you can't see it anymore. DC had its highest particle matter count in over 20 years. Today, it's likely to be worse.
ABC News senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. The Labor Department says 261,000 people filed first-time unemployment claims last week. That's up 28,000 from the week before and is the highest level since October of 2021. This is ABC News. Sources now tell ABC News part of the Ukrainian counteroffensive against Russia is underway today. This as water concerns grow after the attack on a key dam.
Under the threat of shelling and snipers, Ukrainian rescue teams in boats racing to reach thousands from flooded frontline areas. Some agricultural areas swamped, others now cut off from their water supply.
ABC's Tom Sophie Burridge, several children hurt in a knife attack in the French Alps this morning.
Medevac chopper picking up those with the most serious wounds. Among those attacked, very young children who are out in their playground by an elementary school in the town of Annecy. The alleged attacker is in custody, a person reportedly unknown to authorities. Meanwhile, in Paris, lawmakers interrupted a debate to hold a moment of silence for the victims, President Macron describing it as an attack of absolute cowardice. Tom Rivers, ABC News.
Lindsay Watts, ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. A second Western Wisconsin city has closed its outdoor public pool due to maintenance issues. The Hoffman Aquatic Center in Black River Falls was closed due to a leak in the pool, causing it to lose about 18,000 gallons of water per day. The pool will be closed for the rest of the year while city crews search for the leak and repair it. A city official said their indoor water park would have extended hours this summer. An outdoor public pool in Chippewa Falls is delaying its summer opening due to a burst pipe. The Wisconsin Senate voted to approve a bill that would designate State Highway 80 as the Operations Desert Storm and Desert Shield Memorial Highway. Highway 80 runs from Wood County near Marshfield south to the Wisconsin-Illinois state line, passing through cities like Nisida, Richland Center, and Platteville. And the Crawford County Sheriff's Office has arrested a man in Prairie du Chien on suspicion of possession of drugs and child pornography. 33-year-old Joshua Moak is being recommended for 54 total charges after law enforcement found drugs and electronic devices in his hotel room. The Sheriff's Office said that Moak was on probation at the time of his arrest. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Talking, and I was telling him, well, earlier he played a song by Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, and I told him I remembered seeing them down at the Riverside Theater some years ago, 6 or 7 years ago at least, I think. And there was a band that opened called He's My Brother, She's My Sister. That's the name of the band, right?
Yep.
Aaron?
That's them.
Yep. Yeah. And I was so blown away by that opening act at that show that I went to see them probably half a dozen times over the next couple of years. And but then they broke up. But one of the most fascinating things about that band was the drummer, a female drummer, but instead of playing a regular drum kit, she had a great big bass drum laying on the floor on its side, and she would get on top of it and tap dance on the drum, and that was the drums for the band. It was incredible. It was something to see. They had a lot of great songs, and it's too bad they broke up because I'd go see them again. But anyway, welcome back to the show. 8 minutes after 9 o'clock now on this Thursday morning. Stu Daniels with you. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for tuning in to your local Civic Media radio station. We've been discussing several different things this morning, and if you have a comment on anything we've discussed, feel free to call in 715-388-7155. And I would like to speak at this time to some of our Republican listeners, some of our conservative listeners. Let me ask you this. How are you feeling about the Republicans that are lining up to become the Republican nominee for president? Up until now, the common wisdom has been that Trump is going to get the nomination, and his only opponent that he has to worry about at this time is Governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. But just in the past 24 or 48 hours, things have started to change a little bit. I don't know if you have had a chance to check out some of the fiery language from former Vice President Mike Pence. But he has come out swinging. And former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie saying some fiery things about Trump, actually telling it like it is. I'm not a big fan of Chris Christie's, but you got to hand it to him. He's not afraid to tell the truth about the former president. And that's unusual, at least at this point in the Republican nominees or the Republican candidates who've thrown their hat into the ring. Most of them aren't, or haven't at least to this point, criticized Donald Trump very much, but that may be changing. And to our Republican listeners, I would like to hear what you have to say about this. How do you feel about the field that's shaping up for next year's presidential run? It appears that it's going to be another huge field like it was last time. Trump knocked them all down one at a time and ended up being the nominee. Can he do it again? And how does it look with all these candidates jumping into the race? There's an interesting story here in Politico from Burgess Everett and Olivia Beavers posted today, this morning. And the headline says, "I'm worried about it. Republicans agonize over 2024 primary field." The subheadline says, "Donald Trump is training his fire on Ron DeSantis with more than a half dozen others languishing in polls. It's enough to spark heartburn among Hill Republicans." And the story starts out by saying the Republican presidential primary is looking more and more like 2016, a rerun that plenty of Hill Republicans are watching with heartburn. Among the many Hill Republicans who want to see someone other than Donald Trump atop the ticket, there's clear concern that the surge of candidates entering the 2024 fray could make it harder to defeat President Joe Biden next year. Three more candidates jumped in this week alone. Quote, "I'm worried about it." Senator John Cornyn of Texas, Republican, said of the early presidential field he wants the GOP to do better than Trump and fears the former president, quote, "hasn't figured out how to expand beyond his base," end quote. Could the Republican field narrow before primary voters go to the polls? Cornyn replied, "I can dream, can't I?" By contrast, the contingent of Capitol Hill Trump backers like what they see so far. The former president going after Florida Governor Ron DeSantis as a crowded field splits the anti-Trump vote. While congressional endorsements don't anoint primary winners, the views of lawmakers on their party's presidential contenders can serve as a barometer of the mood inside the party, and especially of the Republican establishment in the 2020 Democratic primary. The coalescing support of Black lawmakers and a handful of Senate allies proved essential for Joe Biden. 10 Republican senators officially endorsed Trump, with several others leaning that way, and several dozen House members also on board. DeSantis has no Senate endorsements and just a handful of House Republicans backing him. And as Trump and DeSantis savage each other over COVID and entitlements, a number of congressional Republicans pine for another outcome, that the two-man clash might create an opening for another candidate. Senator John Thune, Republican from South Dakota, said that the candidate onrush shows Republicans think these top two guys may be paper tigers. And I think that might be the case. He backs Senator Tim Scott, Republican from South Carolina, an optimist straight out of the pre-Trump Republican playbook. Iowa Republican Representative Zach Nunn, who's neutral in the primary, suggested that his early state voters might tune out the Trump-DeSantis showdown in favor of somebody else. Quote, "We'll see if the two Titans punching each other fires up the base, or if 6 months from now, people are tired of both and ready for a third way, Nunn said. When you talk to Iowans, there's a word I probably shouldn't say on the radio. When you talk to Iowans, poop-talking other candidates will not get you success, he added. Alluding to his state's farmer-heavy electorate, Nunn said, we don't necessarily pick the winner, but we're pretty good at smelling BS. And he didn't use the initials. The current field beyond Trump and DeSantis includes Scott, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, former Vice President Mike Pence, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson, entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy, and former gubernatorial candidate Larry Elder. The numbers haven't yet reached the chaos of the 2016 primary when Trump dispatched more than a dozen rivals, but it's getting close, which explains why Trump's backers argue that every new candidate only makes his path to victory that much easier. Quote, there's a core constituency that will only vote for the former president, said Representative Carlos Jimenez from Florida, Republican, a Trump backer. As you have more, they start to break up those percentages amongst themselves. That core will always stay with the former president. Well, that former president was feeling good enough about his standing to skip Senator Joni Ernst's roast and ride event over the weekend. Some Iowa lawmakers took notice. Nunn said in response that you don't win new folks by not showing up. Ernst, who is neutral, noted that there was positive energy at the Trumpless event. What do you think? You have any opinion on that? Feel free to give us a call and get on the radio. The phone number is 715-388-7155. We'll be back shortly. Stick around.
Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
I've been a tireless public servant for over a decade. Before that, worked nearly 6 years on Wall Street. I'm an economist, a lawyer, and somebody who cares deeply about whether or not what our politicians are doing make each of our lives better. come tune into The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Know anybody who's been an economist, a lawyer on Wall Street, but is from just down the street? Worked in the public sector for over a decade? Won a rugby national championship and played in Carnegie Hall? Well, I do. It's me. Come tune into The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 77. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows around 51. Tonight, mainly clear. A mix of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered showers. Highs around 81. Highs level off around 78. Saturday, with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. 69, mainly sunny skies. Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 62.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
Hey, boyfriend, can't you hear me when I call? Big boyfriend, can't you hear me when I call? Well, you ain't so big, you just told us all. Got me waking, boy, man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water, but you won't let Jimmy start. Big boss man.
Oh yeah, big boss man. Can't you hear me when I call? 22 minutes after 9 o'clock now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. Thank you for tuning in today. You're having a good day so far. If you want to join us on the phone, the number is 715-388-7155. Discussing many different things today. If you have a comment on anything we've discussed so far, feel free to call. And before the break, we were discussing the lineup for the Republican nomination for president. We do have a presidential election next year. And who do you think is going to be the nominee for the Republicans? Obviously, Donald Trump is the front runner right now. Ron DeSantis, the only guy that's even close at this time, but things could change quite a bit for a number of reasons. For one thing, there are debates coming up, right? The first one's going to be in Milwaukee, but also what if something happens to Donald Trump? It's hard to say what could happen, but if you've seen the headlines in the last 24 hours, you probably know that prosecutors have told Trump's legal team that he is a target of investigation. This is from the New York Times. It says the notice from the office of the special counsel, Jack Smith, suggested that an indictment was on the horizon in the investigation into the former president's handling of classified documents. Now, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think that there's a chance that Donald Trump is going to be wearing an ankle bracelet at some point? Yeah, I don't know. But this piece from the New York Times says federal prosecutors have informed the legal team for former President Donald Trump that he is a target of their investigation into his handling of classified documents after he left office, according to two people familiar with the matter. The notification to Mr. Trump's team by prosecutors from the office of the special counsel, Jack Smith, was the clearest signal yet that the former president is likely to face charges in the investigation. It remained unclear when Trump's team was told that he was a target of the special counsel's inquiry, but the notice suggested that prosecutors working for Mr. Smith had largely completed their investigation and were moving toward bringing an indictment against the former president. In court papers last year, prosecutors indicated that they were scrutinizing whether Trump had broken laws governing the handling of national security documents and whether he had obstructed government efforts to retrieve them. Trump was found to have had more than 300 documents with classified markings at Mar-a-Lago, his private club and residence in Florida, including some found in a search there by FBI agents 2 months after lawyers for the former president said a diligent search had not turned up any more, notifying a potential defendant that he or she is a target is a formal way of indicating that the person is a direct focus of a criminal investigation and often precedes the filing of charges. The notification typically opens the door to defense lawyers requesting a meeting with prosecutors to offer their side of the story. On Monday of this week, three of Trump's lawyers, James Trusty, John Rowley, and Lindsey Halligan, met for almost 2 hours with Mr. Smith and others at the Justice Department in what people close to Trump described as a final effort to stave off charges and alert top prosecutors to what they believe to be misconduct in Mr. Smith's investigation. On Wednesday, yesterday, witnesses continued to appear in front of a federal grand jury in Miami that was hearing evidence in the documents case, among them Taylor Budowich, one of Mr. Trump's former spokesmen. Going to take a break. 26 minutes after 9 o'clock. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Lindsay Watts. Pat Robertson, founder of the Christian Broadcasting Network, well known as the face of the 700 Club and a longtime Republican political influencer, has died. He was 93 years old. Another day of dangerous air quality from the Midwest to the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast. New York City's LaGuardia Airport on an incoming ground stop earlier today due to poor visibility. Clouds of drifting Canadian wildfire smoke to blame.
We are on the Mall, the Capitol itself, shrouded in smoke. On the other side, less than a mile away, the monument standing at 550 feet tall. You can't see it anymore. DC had its highest particle matter count in over 20 years. Today, it's likely to be worse.
ABC News senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. The Labor Department says 261,000 people filed first-time unemployment claims last week. That's up 28,000 from the week before and is the highest level since October of 2021. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. I'm Jimmy Cuska. A 61-year-old Lancaster man is hurt after a crash on June 1st. The Grant County Sheriff's Office said the man was driving a UTV when he was hit by a pickup truck on County Highway A in the town of Ellensboro. The man was thrown from the UTV and had to be flown to a Madison hospital with serious injuries. The driver of the truck that hit the UTV was not hurt. A second Western Wisconsin city has closed its outdoor public pool due to maintenance issues. The Hoffman Aquatic Center in Black River Falls was closed due to a leak in the pool, causing it to lose about 18,000 gallons of water per day. The pool will be closed for the rest of the year while city crews try to repair it. A city official also said that the indoor water park would have extended hours this summer. An outdoor public pool in Chippewa Falls is delaying its summer opening due to a burst pipe. And the state high school softball championships began this morning in Madison at Goodman Diamond. Later today, Grantsburg will take on Iola Scandinavia in the afternoon, while McDonald plays Pacelli later tonight. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Do you get sick of the news? Wonder what it's all about and why it matters to you? Tired of the talking heads? Want to move beyond talking points? For those that want to know, there's only one place to go, and that's the Maggie Dawn Show. Come listen to a pragmatist that gets beyond the politics.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
I'm talking about Promised Land. That's Chuck Berry. Hey, by the way, for our younger listeners, if you're not familiar with Chuck Berry, you better go look him up as soon as possible, because he's one of the most important figures in popular American music, that's for sure, especially in the field of rock and roll. Yeah, welcome back to the show. I'm Stu Daniels. Thank you for tuning in today. We're discussing several different issues. If you want to get involved, feel free to call in 715-388-7155. And have you heard that there is a lot of infighting going on in Washington right now among the Republican Party? Evidently, there's a heated battle going on between the most conservative and the regular conservative, I guess you could call them, not so conservative conservatives.
The headline from the Journal Sentinel says, it is detrimental to what we're trying to do. The Freedom Caucus, those who are the most conservative, they are protesting right now, and it is paralyzing the House of Representatives' Republican agenda. The House adjourned for the week Wednesday evening, that was last night, amid a stalemate within the Republican conference that has temporarily put the chamber's business on hold. Everything is kind of ground to a halt. A group of about 11 members, led by those in the far right, or maybe the far, far right, House Freedom Caucus, effectively paralyzed House proceedings Tuesday by blocking legislation, including a bill led by U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald of Wisconsin, from moving to the floor for a vote largely in protest of Speaker Kevin McCarthy's handling of debt ceiling negotiations with Democrats. By Wednesday evening, those differences had not yet been ironed out, as some members, including some in Wisconsin's delegation, expressed frustration with the stagnation. Scheduled votes were canceled through Thursday, and the chamber was next set to meet on Monday. And if the Republicans aren't pushing through some of their agenda, that's okay by me right now. The quote here from Tim Burchett from Tennessee says, there's got to be some things resolved, and it might be best if everybody just cools their jets for a little while. Tennessee Republican U.S. Representative Tim Burchett, who is not a member of the Freedom Caucus, said on Wednesday afternoon of the internal Republican dispute, quote, it shows that we've got some trust issues and we've got to get those resolved. The exact reasons for the dispute are not entirely clear, but a number of McCarthy's detractors have pointed to his handling of the debt ceiling deal with President Joe Biden, which passed through Congress last week, despite opposition from both liberals and conservatives, as a key issue. Some have suggested the dispute also stems from McCarthy's failure to make good on private deals he cut members on his right flank in January to get elected to the speaker position. Proceedings were first disrupted on Tuesday when the group of 11 members voted down a rule that would have brought Republican legislation to the floor for a vote. The House was set to act this week on bills that aimed to prevent bans. The House was set to act this week on bills that aimed to prevent bans on gas stoves and give Congress more oversight over federal spending decisions, as well as a bill from Fitzgerald that would change how federal courts review actions from executive agencies, legislation Republicans would typically not oppose. The delay has now cost the chamber the remainder of the week to work as McCarthy attempts to negotiate a path forward with the far-right members of his conference. It has frustrated members of both parties. Wisconsin Democratic U.S. Representative Mark Pocan said the pause in proceedings over the dispute, quote, shows the dysfunction within the Republican Party. We should be well into the appropriations process, and yet they haven't begun. In manufactured issues as ludicrous as gas stoves, they can't even build a consensus in their own party, end quote. Republicans have shared similar worries about advancing legislation. Arkansas Republican Representative Steve Womack told a small group of reporters Wednesday that he has some serious concerns about how antics like this, taking down a rule, could impact Congress's ability to pass meaningful measures like the government spending bills Pocan referenced. Quote, I think Kevin has done a good job of listening to their concerns and trying to do everything he can to address their concerns, Womack said of the party's far right flank, but it is divided government. He is the speaker, and we do have a job to do as a governing majority. Just basically appeasing or placating a small group of people, to me, is not constructive in the process. You've got the tail wagging the dog. You've got a small group of people who are pissed off that are keeping the House of Representatives from functioning today. And I think the American people are not going to take too kindly to that. Among Wisconsin Republicans, the delay drew mixed responses and muted frustrations. Republican Tom Tiffany, the only Wisconsin House Republican to vote against the debt ceiling deal, told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that the Freedom Caucus members were just expressing their frustrations over the agreement. He said McCarthy has done a really good job, but said he wished McCarthy negotiated the deal with Senate Democratic Majority Leader Chuck Schumer instead of the White House. Freshman Representative Derek Van Orden, however, said he was focusing on his work on the Agriculture and Veterans Affairs Committees and suggested he thought the delays from those in his parties were unproductive. It is detrimental to what we're trying to do, Van Orden said in a brief interview. The federal government should be able to help American citizens, and when we get caught up in this party stuff, it's to the detriment of our ability to do so. So I'm just not doing that, end quote. Representative Mike Gallagher and Brian Stile, both allies of McCarthy who were tapped by the California Republican to chair committees, didn't outright condemn the delaying tactics from their colleagues, but suggested they'd rather be doing scheduled work. Issues like this arise, both men said, when the party has a narrow majority in the House and Republicans can afford to lose only a few votes from their conference to advance their agenda. Quote, this is a big, long family car trip, Stile told the Journal Sentinel. I'd rather be working on behalf of the American people, but we'll get there. Are we there yet? It's a big family car trip. Obviously, we got a lot of stuff we got to get done, so we don't want to be gridlocked for a long period of time, Gallagher said in an interview, noting the legislation that was on the week's agenda included measures conservatives support. Quote, so I guess my hope is they can figure out some sort of way forward on process that doesn't preclude our ability to actually move legislation. A spokesman for Fitzgerald, whose legislation had been scheduled for a floor vote Wednesday, did not respond to a request for an interview. McCarthy Wednesday evening dismissed concerns about his ability to quell discontent within his conference and downplayed the significance of the House postponing the week's business. It's just a couple days. There's no deadline here, McCarthy told reporters. I won't give up. I'll get through it. We'll listen to them and we'll figure out a solution. That's what productive people do. So sounds like there's a little bit of infighting going on among the Republicans, at least at the federal level right now. And of course, we've got that going on in our own state as well. Hey, something a little bit lighter now, getting away from the politics for a minute. It says here that researchers have found a megalodon tooth necklace in the Titanic wreckage, but the rare object will probably have to stay at the bottom of the sea. So did you ever see that movie, Titanic? It says here, was there a real-life rose on board the Titanic? Lovers of the 1997 film may be shocked by a new deep-sea discovery reminiscent of the heart of the ocean. A gold necklace made from the tooth of a prehistoric shark called a megalodon has been found in the wreckage of the Titanic amid a massive project to scan the site of the famous, or I should say the infamous, 1912 shipwreck. In the film, Rose, a Juliet-like young woman played by Kate Winslet, wears a fictional 56-carat blue diamond necklace purchased for her by her fiancé, which plays a prominent role in the film's plot. Quote, whilst the artifact found is not the same famous necklace which was created for the film, the discovery of the megalodon tooth necklace is poignant, Magellan, a firm that specializes in offshore and ultra-deep water surveying, said in a statement. Images taken during Magellan's massive investigation into the sunken luxury passenger liner picked up images of the megalodon necklace, the company said. The firm noted that members of the public are prevented from removing artifacts lost when the ship sank under an agreement between the United States and the United Kingdom, so Magellan team members are not allowed to touch the wreckage and the incredible find may thus be lost at the bottom of the sea forever. In a bid, this is a quote, in a bid to seek out the jewelry's owner, Magellan is using artificial intelligence to contact the family members of the 2,200 passengers on board the Titanic when it sank. These megalodons are known to have lived from 20 million years ago until they became extinct around 3.6 million years ago. They're estimated to have grown up to 18 meters in length. What would that be? About 20 yards or even longer, 24 yards long. More than three times longer than modern great white sharks. Interesting stuff. Mm-hmm. A megalodon tooth necklace found in the Titanic wreckage. Yeah, I bet they're going to find a lot more stuff as they do that scan. Going to listen to some music and take a break. If you have a comment on anything we've discussed so far, feel free to call in 715-388-7155. 9:45 right now. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Got a job at a local factory.
All right, welcome back to the program, everybody. Stu Daniels Show on a Thursday morning. And we have some breaking news coming out of Washington right now. This is from the New York Times. It's Supreme Court news. Have any guesses? Do you know what's going on? Well, you know, they're... The Supreme Court has made several rulings recently that have eroded the force of the Voting Rights Act, but I would say this is good news. The Supreme Court, this is the headline, Supreme Court rejects voting map that diluted black voters' power. Subheadline says voting rights advocates had feared the decision would undermine the Voting Rights Act, which instead appeared to emerge unscathed. This is by Adam Liptak reporting from Washington, New York Times, and this was just posted about 10 minutes ago. It says the Supreme Court in a surprise decision ruled that Alabama had diluted the power of black voters by drawing a congressional voting map with a single district in which they made up a majority. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the majority opinion in a 5-4 ruling. He was joined by Justice Brett Kavanaugh and the court's three liberal members, Justices Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson. So it was the three liberals plus Roberts and Kavanaugh. Voting rights advocates had feared the decision would undermine the Voting Rights Act, which instead appeared to emerge unscathed. The Chief Justice wrote that there were legitimate concerns that the law may impermissibly elevate race in the allocation of political power within the states. Our opinion today does not diminish or disregard these concerns. It simply holds that a faithful application of our precedents and a fair reading of the record before us do not bear them out here, end quote. The case was part of a pitched battle over redistricting playing out across the country. Civil rights leaders say the redistricting process often disadvantages growing minority communities. Republican state officials say the Constitution allows only a limited role for the consideration of race in drawing voting districts. The case started after Alabama's legislature, which is controlled by Republicans, redrew the congressional map to take account of the 2020 census. The state has 7 congressional districts, and its voting age population is about 27% black. The new map maintained a single district in which black voters made up a majority. Okay, so think about that for a second. They have 7 congressional districts, and the voting age population is about 27% black. So you would think that they would have at least 27% of the congressional districts, or a fourth of them, or even if there is only 7 congressional districts, they should get a couple of them at least, right? Well, the new map maintained a single district in which black voters made up a majority. And so that district has long elected a Democrat, while the state's other 6 districts are represented by Republicans. After black voters and advocacy groups challenged the map under the Voting Rights Act, the landmark civil rights law enacted in 1965 to protect minority voters, a unanimous 3-judge panel of the Federal District Court in Birmingham ruled that the legislature should have fashioned a second district, quote, in which black voters either comprise a voting age majority or something quite close to it. The unsigned decision was joined by Judge Stanley Marcus, who ordinarily sits on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit in Atlanta, and who was appointed by President Bill Clinton, and by Judges Anna Manasco and Terry Moore, both appointed by President Donald Trump. The panel found that voting in the state is racially polarized and that it be possible to draw a second reasonably configured district to allow Black voters to elect their favored candidates. Last year, the Supreme Court temporarily blocked the lower court's ruling by a 5-4 vote, ensuring that the 2022 election would take place using the legislature's map, the one with a single district in which Black voters were in the majority. In 2013, in Shelby County versus Holder, the Supreme Court effectively gutted Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which had required federal approval of changes to state and local voting laws in parts of the country with a history of racial discrimination. But that ruling assured the public that Section 2 of the law would remain in place to protect voting rights by allowing litigation after the fact. In 2021, in Brnovich versus Democratic National Committee, the court cut back on Section 2 of the law, limiting the ability of minority groups to challenge voting restrictions. The new case from Alabama, Allen versus Milligan, also concerns Section 2, but in the context of redistricting. Section 2 bars any voting procedure that, quote, results in a denial or abridgment of the right of any citizen of the United States to vote on account of race, end quote. That happens. The provision goes on when, based on the totality of circumstances, racial minorities have less opportunity than other members of the electorate to participate in the political process and to elect representatives of their choice. So big news coming down from the Supreme Court today. Just a few minutes ago, they rejected that voting map that diluted the Black voters' power. So evidently Alabama is going to have to come up with a new map, which could make a difference in next year's election. Not only presidential election, but also elections for senators and representatives in Washington. All right. Well, we've reached the end of another show already. How does that happen so fast? Thanks for tuning in, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll tune in again tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow morning from 8 till 10, and I hope you have a great day and stay tuned to your local Civic Media radio station.